This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. It covers a wide variety of guests and topics. If you have any comments or suggestions for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hey, Jim. Great to be with you.
Well, thank you. People can probably tell I'm a little bit under the weather today, so this is going to be a mostly Bridget program.
Yeah, I drug him in here. I'm like, are you going to do the show with me today or not?
But I said I would start with a prayer, so I will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this day and for the precious gifts of life and health. Thank you for my family and my friends and my faith in you. Thank you that I live in the United States of America. Please bless and protect each member of my family and protect us from all harm and serious illness, from bullying, addiction, abuse, and violence of all kinds. And through the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, please one day welcome each of us into your holy kingdom. Amen.
Amen. And do you want to mention our dinner coming up?
It is coming up. And every year we used to have our dinner in the spring all the time, and then there were so many other dinners in the spring, we moved it to the fall, and then there were so many conflicts in the fall, we moved it into August for a while. It's back in the fall.
Yes, it is.
It is October 18th, so please mark your calendar for that, October 18th, and we're looking forward to just a super big, nice event this year. We, for the past quite a few years, have been at the Northside Knights of Columbus, or the Northside Events and Social Club. Great folks over there. We love them to death. They've taken great care of us, but we've outgrown their facility. Our dinner has just gotten that big that we can't squeeze that many people in the building there. So we've moved over to the 502 East Events Center in Carmel, another great facility over there, and got Jonathan Bird Catering there, which guarantees good food.
No doubt.
And that's October 18th. We're also going to be giving away are handing out the Bishop Sheen Evangelist of the Year Award, and I can tell you that it is going to a local priest.
Yep,
could be your pastor, your associate pastor. It's a local priest.
Yep.
So we'll leave it at that and mark your calendar, October 18th. You can sign up right now at Catholic Radio Indy, Catholic Radio Indy, INDY.org. There's a form right there, and you can fill it out, pay for it, and be all done with it, and we'll see you on the October 18th date.
Sounds great, Jim. Well, our topic today is suicide awareness, prevention, and we're going to talk about some upcoming events this fall, 2022, and our guest today is Christine Turow-Shields. She is a licensed clinical social worker, an EMDR therapist at Kenosis Center, and also a board member for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and a repeat guest. So welcome, Christine.
Hey, thanks, Bridget. Good to be back.
And what's great about Christine, and we've kind of joke off the air, you know, that we're both extroverts. So this is going to be super fun for both of us. Very energizing and exciting. But we are talking about a serious topic that, you know, suicide prevention and awareness, which I know that you are very much a advocate and have a passion for sharing and helping people through this, and also to just raise awareness.
Yes.
I want to talk about your practice before we get started into the topic. Kenosis Center, where is it? What do you do exactly? And the word kenosis, I'm interested in that word. Talk about that too.
Well, actually, kenosis is the Greek word for emptying out, and it's really when Christ emptied himself of his divinity to become human, from Philippians. And so I co-own that, and we really see that Kenosis, we're a mental health center. We provide outpatient mental health counseling. We have a number of associates as well as graduate interns and also psychiatric nurse practitioners that we supervise and prepare, you know, to go out and serve, right? But we see that counseling, people come into counseling to empty themselves, change their life, and fill their future. And so at whatever point somebody enters therapy, that's kind of the journey that we see in how we're working with folks as they're, you know, struggling or striving to get better and healthier.
Mm-hmm. And I'm interested, you are very passionate, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, about raising awareness about suicide and talking about suicide prevention. What drew you to that type of advocacy?
Well, actually, two incidents in high school really shaped my worldview. I was actually planning on going into computer science and the STEM field.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was a junior in high school, I was working at the local hospital. I'm from Pennsylvania, so I went to Trinity High School. Shout out to Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at Holy Spirit Hospital in the cafeteria. And I had walked past the emergency room. I was, you know, driving trays by. And a guy that I had gone out with was standing about 15 feet in front of me in the emergency room after taking an overdose.
Ooh.
Trying to end his life. And I remember standing there looking at him, and he didn't recognize me. And in that moment, I said to myself, I want to help people before they get to that point. So that was the first, like, God shot for me that completely shifted what I thought I was going to be doing in the world. And then when I was a senior in high school, there was one of our fellow students who died by suicide. And certainly, you know, we were talking about it in religion class. And at that point, you know, way back in the day, we thought that, you know, suicide was the sin of despair and it was unforgivable and people would go to hell. And I remember Sister Ann Christopher in my senior religion class saying, "My God," which I thought was beautiful, just that personal relationship with God. She said, "My God would never send someone to everlasting hell if they've already lived hell on earth." Meaning that to get to the point that you take your own life, you clearly have struggled, you know? And it just seems such a powerful statement to me of grace and forgiveness of God.
And also we know from a theological perspective that, you know, there's culpability. And if you are not in your right mind, so to speak,
correct,
you know, how can you make that free will decision or, you know, all the things that would make it a serious sin, you know, to make it be something that would separate you from God eternally?
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes.
So, you know, just, I mean, that twofold, that whole thing about what you just said and understanding. And as we know more now in the whole mental health field, it's just completely, we know so much more about that and what where people are kind of coming from when they die by suicide.
Yes, yes. And that's so two points that I want to say. One is the reason we no longer use the term committed suicide is because that implies a sense of rational thought.
Mm-hmm.
And you are clearly not in your right mind if your quote unquote best decision is to end your life.
Right.
Right. So we understand that. And we also theologically understand that there are, you know, grave emotional conditions that cause people to think differently and not make that choice. But it's interesting because I work with a lot of Christians who still really believe that.
Yeah, they hold that older kind of thought process. And, you know, and that's good that you're bringing in, you know, kind of the modern or understanding of what we know about brain
Absolutely.
Science and decision making. If you're, you know, so it's very interesting. We're talking with Christine Turow Shields. She is co-owner of Kenosis Counseling Center, and we're talking about suicide awareness, prevention, and some upcoming events. I would like to get into some events because there are several coming up, you know, this fall that I would love for you to mention. Depending on when you're hearing this, the event might be in advance or it might still be coming up. So go ahead and share with us some of the things that are coming up.
So What's coming up first is the Indianapolis AFSP Out of the Darkness Walk. And that is on September 10th. And that's going to be held at White River State Park, Celebration Plaza. And registration starts at 12:30. And start time for the walk event starts at 1:30. And with AFSP, it's really the largest private fundraiser in the United States in terms of suicide prevention. And so the dollars go towards survivor loss support, It goes towards education. It goes towards research and policy. And so this event right now, Indianapolis, our chapter is so proud because we currently are the second largest fundraiser. We're second in the country right now behind the Long Island Walk.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So AFSP stands for American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Right.
And that's their walk, the local walk here, because they happen across the United States.
Absolutely. And across the state as well. So Indianapolis will have about 5,000 walkers at Celebration Park. And across the state, In the fall, there's community walks, and actually it's across the state and across the United States. And then in the springtime, we do campus walks. So again, the walks are the primary way that we raise funds. So that's the first one coming up.
And how do people register for that one, since we're going to be talking about a couple different events?
Well, you can register online and simply going to afsp.org, Indiana. And so, you know, just go into the chapter website, or you can just go to afsp.org and it'll show a community walk, because you can go wherever you are in the United States. You can go to a walk and you can put in your state, you can put in your zip code, and it'll tell you what walks are available.
Okay, and you can get a lot of resources there as well. Okay, now there's also something coming up at Fatima.
Yes.
Retreat House. What's going on there?
So at Fatima, 3 years ago, a team of us came together to provide what we call the You Are Not Alone retreat. And it was just five of us coming together saying, we really need to address this issue. There's a lot of folks struggling. And so that is going to be September 30th, which is Friday night, through October 2nd. There's the option of spending the night. You don't have to, but we have extended it this year to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The first 2 years, and even during COVID, we just did Saturday, Sunday, but we just found that there was more need and more desire for support. So we've extended it. We're allowing people to do overnight, and this is our third year. And the first 2 years, we had about 30 people, and that was even at the height of COVID. So
that's a pretty big group. I mean, really, when you think about it, you know, that's coming out to do something like that. And it's a weekend retreat. Who attends that? Is it survivors, like a loved one that died by suicide?
Yes, or survivors of suicide loss. So anybody 15 and above, we've had some folks attend with, you know, they may have lost a child, and then they may have another child who's lost that sibling. You know, because we know that different types of losses are a struggle for people. So we have people who have lost their parents, who have lost siblings, who have lost children, who have lost friends. So really anybody whose life has been touched by suicide, and regardless of whether it's a new loss or sometimes years and decades later, people just begin to unpack it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And for those who might be listening outside the Indianapolis metro area, because we have a lot of those, Fatima Retreat Center is in the Indianapolis metro area. So you can just check that out, Fatima Retreat Center. Do you have to be Catholic to go to that retreat, or how does that work?
No, not at all. It's certainly has a Christian focus, but you know, it's not a religious retreat specifically for Catholics. The other thing I will say is last year we had some people come in from out of state. As I recall, I think we had somebody come in from Oklahoma and somebody come in from Virginia. I know this year we already have some people registered from Pennsylvania and Michigan. So, you know, people are flying in for this because there's not a lot of retreat opportunities for survivors of suicide loss, especially with, you know, a faith perspective.
We have one more event we want to get to and some other information, but I want to go ahead and take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about, I think it's the Survivors Day in November. So we'll talk about that. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
Catholic Radio Indy has a new look. It's our website. Yes, we have a new website that makes everything about Catholic Radio Indy easier. It's clean, straightforward, and simple to use. You can listen to us live, see our schedule, and our map. You can even silence your phone and take it right into Mass to follow the daily readings. And don't forget, you can get all of our programming through the podcast tab. This makes everything so much easier. So just go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and check us out.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio today, and we are talking with our guest, Christine Touro-Shield. She is a co-owner of Kenosis Counseling Center, and she has many other credentials in her, repertoire. And we're talking about suicide prevention. And before the break, we were actually talking about some events, local events that are happening in and around the Indianapolis metro area. And another one that we want to talk about coming up is Survivor Day, and that's Saturday, November 19th.
Yes, it's always the Saturday before Thanksgiving. Always, always, always.
And I'm guessing there's a reason for that.
Well, just in terms of timing and in terms of reflection, you know.
And I, what I was thinking is like going into the holidays that, yes, you know, those seem to be people that have lost a loved one, mm-hmm, for various reasons.
Yeah.
It's difficult sometimes to have those holidays without your loved one, you know, no matter how they died. But I'm guessing that if they died by suicide, that it might be more difficult because that's so tragic, you know, when, yeah, someone, you lose someone in that, under those circumstances.
Especially the first year, you know, one of the things that we know about grief is that, you know, we always say that the first year is the hardest. What I have found anecdotally is that the second year is more difficult. And you know, I always hesitate sometimes in telling survivors, but I would prefer that they know that, because we think a lot of times about a good death, you get through the first year and then you're kind of going on with a good clip. What we know about tragic death is that oftentimes it is a 3 to 5 year process to really unpack it. And that first year, I have found folks can still be really numb and almost like walking through quicksand. Mm-hmm. And the second year is when they can feel the crushing loss. And then that can be really disillusioning if they were expecting that they were supposed to be better. And so, you know, especially in that first year, Survivor Day is a way, it's an event to come and memorialize and to come together and support. And again, that notion of you are not alone. You know, one of the things that I let survivors know is to look into the eyes of someone else who has gone through that same loss. The details will always be different, but to know that someone else knows how deep that pain and loss cuts is really, you can't put words to it, but to look into the eyes just is a confirmation of I'm not in this alone and I can get to the other side. And oftentimes folks will say, you know, I don't know how I ever got through that. And I said, well, that's because other people carried you, you know, and from even from our own faith perspective, it's really that footprints in the sand. Like, how did I get through there? Well, it's because you were carried to the other side, because you're not in this alone.
And the thing that I think about with suicide in general, I mean, there probably still is, and you can probably speak to this, some kind of, you know, stigma or failure, yes, that a person, they don't even want to share that that's how their loved one died, because there's still like maybe embarrassment, or that, you know, they didn't do something right, or they don't even want to let people know that how the person died, yeah, because there's still a stigma. I mean, is that true?
Oh, absolutely. And I remind folks all the time that mental health issues are just health issues, mm-hmm, right? These are just health issues. And so do we hide the fact that somebody died by cancer? Do we hide the fact that somebody died from a heart attack? And so it's really important for us to take that stigma away. And now more often I'm actually seeing obituaries where people will mention that someone died by suicide, which again is a courageous thing to do because it's still very countercultural.
Sure.
But it's just no different because it's illness. And, you know, it's not character flaw. It's not character defect. It's not that the person wasn't strong enough. It's illness. And just like we know people die from cancer, some people lose their battle to mental illness, to depression, because we know that in about 90% of the cases, people are dealing with a mental health issue, whether diagnosed or undiagnosed, whether treated or untreated.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty high number. In fact, that was one of my questions, you know. You know, are there typical signs that a person might be in danger of hurting themselves? And just in that thing before that maybe if someone is struggling with a mental health issue, that you said 90% of people who do die by suicide have maybe have an underlying issue in that area. But I want to get to signs. Are there typical signs? I mean, that parents or friends or family, if they have a loved one that has a mental health issue, are there things that they can do or recognize in other people that are struggling with those issues or that are working through them, like to help with prevention, I guess, or
yes.
what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, yes.
Anything typical?
Yeah. So before I answer that, I want to say one analogy that I talk to family members about is that, you know, the issue of suicide has such complexity with it. And it's really like an iceberg. And the thing that we know about an iceberg is that you only see 10% on the top. Mm-hmm. And there's about 90% underneath. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's so many factors that go into a suicide death. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, you know, why did he do it? It's he broke up with his girlfriend or whatever. That might be the straw that breaks the camel's back, but that's not why people die by suicide. You know, you have genetic factors, you have environmental factors, you have social factors. And so Thomas Joyner is a PhD who's a suicidologist and has done a lot of research in this. And so he describes three reasons people are at greater risk for dying by suicide. And one of them is just feeling as though they're a burden, mm-hmm. right? And so this sense of I'm not getting better or I'm always struggling or whatever. Like when somebody feels as though they're a burden, they're at risk, right? Mm-hmm. And then when there's social isolation, feeling as though nobody can understand them or nobody supports them or everybody has rejected them or they've pushed everybody away. And, mm-hmm. you know, again, when you feel lonely and alone,
mm-hmm. sure.
you know, there's no place to turn, mm-hmm. conceivably, at least in that mind. Mm-hmm. And then the third factor is that when somebody has given themselves the ability to hurt themselves, because that is really mm-hmm. counter to our nature as humans and, if you will, as mammals. It's counter to our nature to hurt ourselves. Mm-hmm. So when they have made that okay in their minds, mm-hmm. those are the three risk factors. Mm-hmm. And Tom Smith is an author, and his daughter died by suicide. So for those of you who are family members and trying to support somebody who may be struggling with depression or suicide thoughts, there's a book called A Balanced Life, and mm-hmm. it's just a great book. It's a quick read, but it really just touches on those points of what you can do for your loved one, but also what you can do for yourself.
Mm-hmm. A question that just came to my mind is, I'm sure there's a lot of people that maybe have considered suicide once, maybe got some counseling or changed their mind for whatever reason. But are there other people that are prone to consider it over and over and over again throughout their life? Or do they usually, when they resolve an issue, then they're okay for the rest of their life? Or how does that work?
Well, some people, it does resolve. But for some people, it's present. And I always use the analogy, because I started as an addictions therapist. And so I use the analogy that some people get into recovery from addiction, but they will still periodically through the recovery crave alcohol or crave drugs. Mm-hmm. And so that urge to, you know, that urge to think about, I want to die, mm-hmm. is part of their struggles, right? It's a symptom of depression or a symptom of another mental health condition, whether that's anxiety or bipolar disorder or, you know, I mean, it's part and parcel. So if we can look at that in terms of a symptom rather than if they say it, then they're going to do it, mm-hmm. or let's not talk about it, because sometimes, you know, people are hesitant to say, are you thinking about suicide, mm-hmm. as if they're going to implant that into their brain. And I go, somebody's either going to confirm and go, well, yeah, actually I am, or no, I would never do that. Mm-hmm. So let's ask the question. That's one simple thing other people can do. Just ask the question of, you seem off right now, or you seem really isolated, or there's a lot of things that are just uncharacteristic. Are you doing okay? Are you thinking about suicide? We want that to be a normal conversation, mm-hmm. and a normal question.
Mm-hmm. We just have a couple minutes left. Did you want
to
say something real quick, Jim?
I just wanted to be
getting
sure.
To resources? Because
well,
that's where I was.
I just wanted to be sure that we get this phone number out. Excuse me. This phone number out. Everybody knows the 911 number. We've all growing up with that. Emergency 911, always a good number to remember. And there have been suicide hotlines in the past, but if they're a typical 10-digit phone number, that's pretty hard to remember, pretty hard to jot down, but they've taken care of that.
Yes, we are very proud across the United States. We now have the 988 number. And that
988.
988, and that is, you know, responded to by people who have training and 24 hours, just like 911. The other option, too, especially for those in the generation that text, there is a 24-hour text crisis line, 741-741. And you can text at any hour of the day, and you can say help or hello or I need to talk. And again, a trained volunteer on the other end will text you back, 741-741, or call. And again, that 988 number, whether you're calling for yourself or you're calling for a loved one, don't hesitate to pick up the phone.
That's really great. We have just about a minute left. I will put all the events again on our podcast link. So if you want to look there, you can have all the dates and connections for people wanting to do this. What's this been like for you, for your faith life, to be a part of this, advocacy to help people either recover from a loved one who died by suicide or just to help prevent it in the first place?
It's gratifying for me to be able to journey with people sometimes clearly at the darkest times of their life. I talk about death with people every single day, and I witness miracles happening. I witness healing happening every day, and I just feel so grateful to be able to bring that sense of hope to someone in a time when they feel very hopeless or alone. I thank God every day for me, this is a ministry.
Amen to that. Well, our guest today has been Christine Turow-Shields, advocate for suicide awareness and prevention. Thank you so much for being our guest today on Faith in Action.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. This program and all Faith in Action programs can be heard or downloaded as podcasts from CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a comment or suggestion for guests or topics for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. This program has been pre-recorded.